each of these proverbs, as the proverbs do, deserve their own time and their own meditation. In aiming to cover one chapter in a time, we have to select some, just to draw some out, some that I draw out this evening for our attention, but there are others that would equally deserve their own attention as well. One of the purposes for us in reading the Proverbs and making our way through it is simply to read it, and as in reading it, we are instructed by it, the scripture which calls for the reading of the scripture, as well as the preaching, the meditation upon scripture. But there's many proverbs here that I would like to have said more on this evening, but will not, with comments on a few only here. Verse 1, a proverb for our times. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. There is a time for everything, as we're told in Ecclesiastes. And there are times when isolation is necessary. But isolation can also become a habit. And once it's become a habit, when the reason for that isolation has gone, when it becomes a habit, then it can be a very difficult one to break. And a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said this on the subject of isolation: sin demands to have a man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more attractive will be the power of sin over him, and the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous is his isolation. That quotation is from Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together. Life Together, or also known as a prayer book of the Psalms, for the book is a book where Bonhoeffer offers his reflection upon the Psalms. And the Psalms are the book for today. The Psalms are the book for, this is the book for us in the present. The whole scripture is for us in the present. They're special applications that come to us in the Psalms and the Proverbs as well, that these parts of the scripture which are known as the wisdom literature, that give us wisdom for living in this day, for giving wisdom in our own day. Unusual though our own day is, it's a day that is known perfectly by God. And while the pandemic has been, for us, it may have been the only time we have experienced this, it's not the only time that it's happened. And God has been there, and he has provided for his people and ministered to his people with his word in times past and in times present as well. And so God, with his word, communicates to us that he is acquainted with our experiences, This is one of the wonderful things that we discover upon reading the Psalms especially. God is acquainted with us. That he knows us. He knows our frames. He knows our minds. He knows our words even before we utter them. He knows us perfectly. And as we read the Psalms, what we discover, perhaps you will be able to share with me in this, as I found it myself, that upon reading the Psalms, you find in words what you've not been able to describe, maybe felt, and it may be that upon not being able to describe it, is it only me that is experiencing it? But then going to the Word of God and reading it, it's set out before us. This is speaking, not as the phrase often is, speaking to me, speaking about me, and it's telling me what I've not before been able to put my finger on. And with this, God shows to us that he is acquainted with us. And as he is acquainted with us, and as he shows to us with his word, his written word, that he is acquainted to us, he leads us then to worship him. He shows us, he knows us, he loves us, and he leads us to worship him. This great God who has shown me and ministered to me with his word, and it leads us to worship him. It leads us to worship him together. As we, as God ministers to us, he leads us to worship him together. So it's notable, as Bonhoeffer there was speaking about isolation, that the title of the book is Life Together. So he was familiar with isolation. He was also familiar with God ministering to his people and leading them out of isolation and leading them to himself and leading the church to worship. I give some examples of the way in which the Psalms describe personal experience. Psalm 6, verse 3. My soul is greatly troubled. Psalm 25, verse 16. I am lonely and afflicted. Psalm 42, verse 5. I am downcast. And when one is feeling those emotions and experiencing that which leads to this, then to read it in the scripture, I'm not alone, but I am known, is a wonderful help. And so in the Psalms, which begin with the one who turns away from where the wicked walk, end with the gathering of the church. So in Psalm 149, verse 1, it says, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. And Psalm 150, verse 1, which is the beginning of the last Psalm, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. What we are reading of there is that the psalmist has found hope and help in God. And that's what the Psalms are communicating to us, that where we have these feelings, emotions, experiences, that our hope and help is in God. So in Psalm 6, which we mentioned, where it says, "My soul is greatly troubled," it says in verse 9, "The Lord hears my plea and accepts my prayer." Greatly troubled, but the Lord hears my plea and accepts my prayer. Psalm 25, verse 16, where the psalmist says, "I am lonely and afflicted." He says in verse 20, "He has found refuge in him." He's found refuge in him. Psalm 42, verse 5, "I am downcast." He says in verse 11, "He is the health of my countenance and my God." And we find then that the scriptures here not only describe the feeling, but they also provide the help as well. It's notable that in each of these experiences, that the answer for all of them is found in God. The answer for all of them is found in God. And God is our help. God is our strength. He hears my plea and accepts my prayer. I find refuge in him. He is the health of my countenance and my God. And it's not only, this is written down for us, not only that the psalmist found this, but it's also that we shall find this as well, if we have not already found it. That here are the words that are our help, and the words that minister to us as they lead us to God, and as we receive his kindness. For where we find adversity in God's providence, we may learn, and may we learn, and know of the kindness that God attends in the matter as well. This is what's described to us in the Psalms. And the Psalms there in human experience are telling us really of the sufficiency of the Word of God. That what is needed is supplied for us with the Word of God. We read in these verses of towers and fortresses and fortifications and strong cities. We read in verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination." And in verse 19, "A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarrelling is like the bars of a castle." The man, mankind, is like a city. I've been mentioning before Bunyan's book on the Holy War. That's how he, in that book, he is helping us to see more of what is being said here. The towers, the fortifications, a brother offended, for example, is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarrelling like the bars of a castle. And these verses are telling us of strong powers, which power is also mentioned in other verses here as well. In verse 18, the lot puts an end to quarrels and decides between powerful contenders. In verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. There are powers at work in the present. There is the power of government and the powers that belong to government. Media has power, TV, radio, internet. Powers are at work every day. There is power over souls, and power, the power of death. Satan, who Paul describes as trading in these powers, keeping people under the power of death and sin. You're not worthy of this God. There's no hope for you, that kind of thing. Keeping people under the power of evil. But what the Bible says to us, and this is one of the reasons why we are so thankful to have our Bibles, is because the Bible tells us of the power of God and the power of Christ. The power of God and the power of Christ. The power of cancelled sin. The power of breaking this bond between us and death. That even though we die, yet in Christ we shall live. God who breaks this power. And when we think upon then the day that we are in and the beliefs that are widely held and the power under which so many are held under these beliefs, we consider the powers that are at work, then there's the power of God and the power of Christ. This is the great power, the power which is able to break sin and to break death, even as Christ has broken death. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, God says he's going to swallow death up. And that's what Jesus has done. When he came to die on the cross, what he was doing in dying was swallowing it up. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, death has been swallowed up in victory. God has swallowed this up. And what comes forth from God, what comes forth from him having swallowed death up, is this new heavens and the new earth that God, and the kingdom of God that God establishes in his Son, Jesus Christ. Reading the gospel account of Jesus shortly before going to the cross and before he went to the cross, he was questioned by a number of different religious groups of people who all of them were trying to catch Jesus out and trying to prove that he wasn't who he said he was by his words. Well, they couldn't. And so they put him to death. But even then they couldn't stop him, for he rose again. But one of those accounts that we are told of is the group that called the Sadducees. The Sadducees are an interesting group for us in this day, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And it would appear that the vast majority of people in our part of the world do not believe in resurrection. So what did Jesus have to say to the Sadducees? That's that's helpful for us in working out this matter and where we should stand ourselves in it. What did Jesus say? Well, he replied to what they said, and what they said, they tried to show Jesus up. They tried what they did not think that resurrection was a reasonable belief. It's the kind of thing that now perhaps is laughed at. Believe in resurrection, really? It's laughable. And so they thought they would. They thought they would catch Jesus out, and they gave the story of the person who had been married 7 times. Now, which one would they be married to in heaven? And Jesus, before he gave the answer to them, said this: "Is this not the reason you're wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." You know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. And that draws us to the scriptures and the absolute vital importance of the scriptures for today in getting the message out, and the power of God. The power of God. The power of Christ. Christ, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. The power of the gospel, the power of the cross. What and wherein do we see the power of the cross? One of the ways in which we see the power of Christ at work is in the breaking up and breaking down of beliefs that are held apart from Christ. The breaking down, breaking up of beliefs. Of things that people believe and cannot think of as being in any other way. Such as that all there is this life. And God breaks that down in the power of Christ, in the power of the cross. And he breaks up that bond between sin and death in the power of the cross by cancelling sin and thereby cancelling death. He contends and we find this power at work in us as we contend with and defeat temptation unthinkable before. The power of God and the gospel and Christ is shown in one of the ways in which it's shown is the breaking up of these ideas that people hold on to and believe and embed themselves in societies. And then it takes us to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, not to lean on our own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Here we find then there's the importance of the sowing of the word of God in prayer and committing the matter to God. God is the only one who can do that work in a person's life that needs to be done. In the Holy War, there's the story of the captains who go to the city, and they've done everything to try and turn these people to themselves, and they can't do it. And the way that Bunyan shows it is that the way that there's the going around what is said, there's the excuses, there's the denial, there's the blame, and everything to get away from God. And the captains meet together and they say, we are committed in the service to God, and we have done all that we can, but we cannot change these people. And so they write a message to God and say to him, we are so delighted to be in your service, but we have not been able to do what you have desired to be done. And so they say forgive us for how we have not been able to. Please send one who can do this. And that's where Bunyan speaks about the sun. It's the sun. It's the sun who turns people to the Father. And as people come into this relationship with the Son, they are turned to the Father, to God, away from sin, away from death, away from all that constrains and keeps people down in sin and death. The Son delivers. And this is for the glory of God, that He alone shall receive the glory. We began with the subject of isolation. Verse 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We began with isolation. The chapter begins with isolation, and the chapter ends with company. And it often might be said the resolution to isolation is company. But what we are shown here, the resolution to isolation is company, but it's not any company. It's not any company. For as the proverb reveals, a man of many companions may come to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And so what we're taught here is that company is our help, but it's not company itself that assists. For a man of many companions may come to ruin. What matters is what that company is, who that company is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 speaks of the same thing. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Again, not to be deceived into thinking that the real need is company, whatever company that is. But the real need is this company that is described to us. So we recall what J.C. Ryle said about Christian growth for any who are a Christian. He spoke of the five things. One, the private means of grace, prayer, reading of the Bible, meditation, self-examination. Secondly, essential to growth in grace is carefulness and use of the public means of grace, prayer, praise, the preaching of the word, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Watchfulness, thirdly, watchfulness over our conduct in the little matters of everyday life. Fourthly, caution about the company we keep and friendships we form. Nothing, Ryle said, perhaps affects a man's character more than the company he keeps. Fifthly, there is one more thing which is absolutely essential to growth in grace, and that is regular and habitual communion with the Lord Jesus. The daily habit of communion between the believer and his Saviour, which can only be carried on by faith, prayer, and meditation. The fourth, thinking about social company. The fifth, this company that's described at the end of verse 24. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Back in chapter 17 and verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And here in verse 24 of chapter 18, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If we look at chapter 17, verse 17 there, a friend who loves, there's one who's described here as closer than a friend, a brother. A brother who's born for adversity, flesh and blood. And we might think, well, that's where it stops. But the Bible leads us on to, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is that friend who sticks closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let us spend some time now then together in prayer, shall we?